Welcome back, everyone, to Too Many Trailers, the podcast where we talk about movie trailers every other week. These are your intrepid hosts. This is Kelsey. Hi.
And I'm Marianne.
And we have something a little different this week,
It's like a little bit of a different style.
Kind of where we face off and we...
Wow.
And we talk about a certain movie that... It's a movie that's nominated for an Oscar, I believe for Best Picture.
I believe so.
Adam Driver got the credit for Best Actor, I believe, and Laura Dern for Best Supporting Actress.
Scarlett Johansson got one also, but just not for this movie. She got it for Jojo Rabbit.
Which is so... Okay, anyway, we're talking about Marriage Story trailer.
You haven't caught it on by the time we got to Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson, and Laura Dern.
Yeah.
If Scarlett Johansson had been in Star Wars, they would have all been in The Last Jedi also.
That's wild. I'm so happy ScarJo is not in Star Wars.
But, like, what if she was?
That'd be really weird.
She does fine in Avengers.
Yeah, she's great in Avengers, so she doesn't need to be in Star Wars.
I know.
Okay.
She doesn't have time.
No. She's too busy making the Black Widow movie. Anyways, moving on.
Moving right along. We're going to mix it up for you a little bit this time.
So this week we are discussing the Marriage Story trailer, but there's a little catch.
Yeah.
There are about 600 trailers for Marriage Story.
Approximately
600. And we are going to be discussing them. However, I am taking on the mantle of discussing the Adam Driver point of view trailer, and Marianne...
We'll be talking about Nicole's point of view trailer, talking about Charlie.
Do you know their character names? Because I just said Adam Driver.
Nicole and Charlie.
I'm just going to put Charlie. I'm going to be talking about Charlie, excuse me.
So you're talking about
Charlie's point of view.
And I'm talking about Nicole's point of view.
And that will be the whole episode.
So yeah, instead of two movies, two trailers, it's two trailers, one movie.
So let's talk about the behind the trailer facts for Marriage Story. Which is really not a lot still. Like, everything I feel like is, like, so squished.
I know.
It just, like, because when I was looking through the cast list, and we'll discuss it when we get there, I was a little shocked at, you know, the amount of players in this film, which I guess, well, okay, let me get through the director and writer first. So the director and writer of Marriage Story is Noah Baumbach. I'm not really sure what he has done. I think I've known...
Wrote Madagascar 3.
What?
A classic. Yep. Or at least... and then he wrote Squid and Whale, which... Oh my god, I didn't see it, but I'm just proud of myself for kind of recognizing it, and Kelsey didn't. He wrote and directed that. Francis Ha.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And Mistress America.
Is that a documentary?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious, because...
It might be.
It sounds like a documentary title. Be like, look how quirky we are.
You know what would be a good documentary title? Mistress America.
Because I feel like all documentaries in this day and age have to have some sort of, like, quirky title so people can watch it. So it isn't just like, this movie's about triplets who got separated. It's like three identical strangers. If you want to hear that talk, go into our archive.
It was a really great documentary.
We screamed.
A lot, actually.
Okay, so
the
composer.
Composer is the one, the only, Randy Newman.
My main bro.
You might remember us talking about him in a Toy Story 4, our lowest rated trailer of last year, I think.
Yeah.
Did you know that Randy Newman, for like as a full composer, like credited composer for a film, only has 39 credits?
That is astounding. I thought he just like honestly thought he had a lot more.
Right?
I thought it was he had maybe like a richer document a library just because like he's so recognizable for like the animation
right.
that he does. And I'm actually really interested to hear his music because it's not a children's film.
Right.
What?
Well, he's done some non-children's films. And
has he?
Like that. Yeah, the Meyerowitz stories.
That's also on Netflix.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense now. I'm getting a good vibe.
He has a lot of, like, credits of being, like, in the music department for things and things like that. But I was like, wow, you only got the composing credit for 39 films.
Especially with, like, such a recognizable name. Like, you have, like, the Hans Zimmers or the Danny Elfmans, and they have, like, hundreds of credits. And, you know, you have, like, Mr. Newman that is just, like, I just have, like, a pile of books that's, like, this high.
They have a small pile of scores.
Exactly. Versus, like, the vast libraries that we usually see with composers, you know, of the trailers we usually do here.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we do trailers that, like, don't have, like, we have to, like...
First-time people are digging it. I'm like, they did these two things, and I don't know what any
but I feel
are.
Like Randy Newman's been in this industry for, like, almost, like, what, 40 years, probably? And, like, minimum. And it's just... wild to only have 39 credits.
Right.
And have such a recognizable name. You go, Randy Newman.
We love you.
All right.
Are we ready to break down the cast list?
It is like 7 people, so sure. It's actually really... Because... Okay. So, so let's go through the cast, and then I'll like kind of like explain why I'm a little surprised at how little it is. So, we have Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson. Y'all know who they are. Azzy Robertson, Wallace Shawn, Laura Dern, we everyone know, Ray Liotta, who is a very, I guess, well-known actor. He's been in Goodfellas, that J-Lo show, Shades of Blue, I think, or something.
Oh,
it's like some cop drama. Like
some cop show.
We have Kyle Bornier and Alan Alda. That's who I have. That's who I recognized or thought. They deserve the recognition. I shouldn't say deserves. Everyone deserves recognition. But the names that were, like, of people who had more speaking roles rather than two lines. Because everyone is credited on Internet Movie Database. Which is great, but also...
Also, every single person. In order of appearance.
Yes.
So the third, like, highest credited person is street solicitor number one.
And you know what? Good for them.
I'm so happy.
So proud of them.
But also, like, could we put the kid up there?
Yeah.
Like, Laura Dern?
Yeah, I don't think I even put the kid because I wasn't even sure, like, who they were, if they had, like, a speaking role. So... I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
I know, because the trailers are a little misleading as to what you're actually going to see.
Especially because they're teaser trailers, which is...
That's true.
Because teaser trailers just kind of show you kind of like a glimpse of what the trailer
giving
would be.
Taste.
I also don't understand. Like, I mean, other than these trailers, which actually did a phenomenal job of doing, of teasing a trailer.
Right.
Or a film.
Doing their actual job.
I really see no purpose in teaser trailers, and they kind of started to dwindle down a little bit. I've seen, like, probably, like, 2 years ago, everything was like, teaser trailer.
Right.
And now it's just, like, trailer. Like, first official trailer,
and then
or second
official
trailer, and then, like,
of a
six
teaser
more.
And a regular one.
Right. And I feel like it serves no purpose other than to just gain views and just to see how the hype is going to be. For companies and marketing companies, but I do see the value in these types of teaser trailers.
This was, like, just such a well-done idea to do, like, especially in a story that's about, like, a couple going through...
The throes of a divorce or falling out of love type of thing.
Right. So, like, that's such a great idea to, like, do one from each person's point of view.
Right.
Like... What?
I think it was just so...
It's so simple, it's so obvious, so easy, but nobody's ever done it.
We haven't seen anyone done it
Nothing before. Recent, you know.
Exactly. And I feel like it really... It's hard to discuss it without actually discussing the trailers, because we have a couple more things that we have to discuss about before we get into the trailers.
Right.
And I feel like, let's go on to that, and then we'll kind of really discuss, like, what we liked about the teaser trailers, go into our teaser trailer, and then do the same thing with the other one. So, don't we have a certain actor that we always
want to recognize?
Do I want to recognize? Let me just get my thing going.
A slight rainbow little sprinkle, but you could say that, huh? Natasha Romanoff, who's played by Scarlett Johansson, could be coded as queer if you wanted.
Coded as queer is correct. I do. The ally says. I definitely agree that she can be quoted as, I think a lot of characters can be quoted
as queer in the Avengers franchise, but like
quite a few.
That's just me.
That's open for interpretation, I guess. Right. But anyways,
just a little sprinkle for you.
A little sprinkle.
Like one singular rainbow colored sprinkle, like on your ice cream. That's it.
All right, everyone. It's time for our favorite segment on Too Many Trailers. It is time for 6 Degrees of Bill Nighy.
Okay.
Sorry. Didn't know how to turn down my phone.
It's all right. So, Bill Nighy, because it's only one movie, sometimes it's a little harder to get a connection. But so I literally was scrolling through the cast list and I was like, please, somebody have done something related to Harry Potter, anything British. Bill's done a lot. Like, just give him a connection. So as I was looking through the casting list, since the cast list recognized every single person, it recognized the actor Amir Taubi.
I recognize the actor. I feel like you're in a court show.
I would like to recognize
the actor. Proceed, Your Honor.
Thank you. I will. So the actor Amir Taubi was in the film called The Circle.
Okay. Yeah, I read the book, and the movie was just as bland.
But it starred Emma Watson. Oh, so that's all that really matters. Emma Watson, you may know from a little series called Harry Potter. And Harry Potter 6 and 7 featured Bill Nighy playing Rufus Scrimgeour. You are welcome, and good night. I like that we're both dancing and nobody can see it.
No one can see it. So that was your 6 Degrees of Bill Nighy! Alright, so who should go first? And I feel like that has been it's been a question when leading up to this episode recording because
right.
Just because it's the same trailer, there's still the differences of POV, and it's like who to discuss first.
Right, and as a forewarning,
yes,
we only watched our own. Like I watched through quickly once the other one just to see, but I didn't listen really.
Right.
So because, I don't remember anything that happened.
And I only watched Charlie's or Adam Driver's trailer. And I think we did this because at least when I like thought of this idea, I like in couples therapy, I want to hear what the perspective is.
Right.
And so
so interesting.
I have like my whole discussions all around like couples therapy in this like term because it's the whole point. But and I thought that it would be interesting just to only know your point of view and to listen to someone else's point of view.
Therapy.
We stand.
I don't know who should go first. Should we flip a literal coin?
Actually, yes.
Wow.
I'm getting a coin from my puppet. All right, so heads or tails? Heads or tails. I'm literally flipping a coin.
Our literal fight's going to be about whose heads and whose tails. This literally is couples therapy. Oh, no. It's when you can't even get to the point because you're stuck. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You're so stuck fighting over the little things you can't even get to the bigger stuff. So sorry.
And so I'm literally flipping a coin. Heads or tails? Ready? So, heads or tails?
Heads.
Okay. Ready?
Set. Oh, no.
That is you!
Oh, wow! It worked out pretty well.
Oh, wow, that worked out great.
That worked out much better than I thought.
So, first because we hit on heads, I should say, we'll be talking about the Nicole POV first.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about, in the second half of the episode, we'll be talking about that Charlie/ Adam Driver's side of the POV teaser trailer. So.
Great.
I'm here to listen and expand my worldview.
Are you going to do active listening?
I'm going to do active listening, which means I'm going to be taking notes as well.
Okay. I think that when we're then talking afterwards, we should use I statements.
I think that's a great idea, Marianne.
Write down that we're going to post about ground rules.
Okay. Ground rules.
I statements.
Okay, so grand returns.
Active listening.
Can we have like a poster board that has like gold stars?
Been a poster board of the ground rules.
Well, yeah, the ground rules, and like to
see if you get a gold star if you did it or not.
It's called positive reinforcement.
I like positive reinforcement.
Honestly, like we stand. Can also you tell like that coffee?
That coffee kicked in quick.
Oh boy.
Can you tell like that lemonade? I thought you were done.
Ground rules.
Ground rules. We're going to be using I statements.
I statements, eye contact.
Oh, God. I don't do well with eye contact.
Me either. I look at your forehead. I don't look at your eyes.
That's fine. I usually look at your eyes, but when I'm having conversations and I need to be thinking, I'm usually looking up like well, a like or looking around. Very and that's normal. When I got in trouble in third grade because my teacher asked me, sorry, talking about therapy.
Writing this episode.
I was talking to my teacher, asked a question, mm-hmm. and I was looking up the ceiling. I was like, because that's I just like look up sometimes when I'm thinking, and she thought I was rolling my eyes at her, and then I got in trouble.
Yeah.
So we're gonna use eye statements. We're gonna take turns.
Take turns
speaking. Mm-hmm. And just do a little active listening, which just means that you're, you know, not distracted when you're listening, and you're, you know, you don't have to take notes, but you can. You're providing, like, indications that you're listening. You're using follow-up questions if needed.
I missed all of what you were saying. I'm so sorry.
When I was talking about active listening, you weren't actively listening.
I put down active speaking and then crossed that out and then said listening, and I'm like, okay, what?
It just means you can take notes if you want. You don't have to take notes when you're doing active listening, but you're, like, just providing signals that you're listening still or, like, okay. Asking follow-up questions that are relevant.
So, like, me saying okay right. Is active listening because yes. I'm understanding what you are saying.
Right, or asking for clarification, things like
that. Like what I just did.
Yes, exactly. Those all help provide active listening. So a lot of my charting at work is, like, providing active listening to parents and providing active listening and emotional support. That's what I do.
No wonder you were so interested in this film. Because it's your whole career.
Maybe this the title of this episode is just going to be hashtag therapy.
Honestly, therapy for us. Anyways.
Yep. All right, so Nicole's point of view. So the title of the trailer for like both of them was like, so this one was What I Love About Charlie.
And yeah, this was What I Love About Nicole. Yeah.
So it started off with the narration. So the whole thing is narrated by Nicole, I guess.
ScarJo. It's okay. ScarJo is in this film. I'm going to be just using Adam Driver just because of the fact that I know, like, every time I see him in film, I just know it's Adam Driver. He's, like, such
that's
a recognizable.
That's it.
No matter where Adam Driver is, whether he's in space or racing cars, he is Adam Driver to me. So just like Scarlett Johansson, it's like, just because, whether she's Black Widow
I'm going to call her Natasha, maybe I'm going to call her Scarlett Johansson.
But just know that it's going to be the characters in the film. Charlie and Nicole, which does not fit for either of them as people.
Not really.
That's why they're not named that, so.
That's why we're rejecting what they put for us. We're not going to call them those names. Reject the character name you chose.
I was going to say, it was like, I reject your opinion and substitute my own type of quote from Mythbusters. Mythbusters Stan, still to this day, which is one of my favorite, whatever the guy's name is, Adam something.
Adam Driver.
I almost said Adam Driver, and I was like, that's not a... Adam Savage, that's his name. Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Are we procrastinating on therapy?
I think we are, and I think that's why we're procrastinating on it, because we're just like, as much as...
Are we going to get in a fight?
No, honestly, I actually do not think...
I don't think so.
This is
at
like
all.
The one episode where we like might not like fight about a movie. So.
Good job, us.
Good job. Pat on our back. But let's get to it.
All right, I know, I'm sorry. Okay. So it starts off. And she says, what I love about Charlie is, and mm-hmm. she talks about that he's a good dad and he loves all the things about being a dad that most people hate. And really just, it's like, that's the whole, like, first part is all, like, positive stuff about, like, him and their relationship. And she talks about, like, that he listens to her even when she's, like, if she gets, like, angry and she's passionate about something and he doesn't need to be, like, listening or could not be supporting her because, mm-hmm. like, she's being crazy. He still does. And I liked that it was narrated because I just thought it was good because it gave, like, that background instead of seeing those scenes. Like, it's, like, usually you don't want showing but not telling. Right. Or you want to show but not tell.
Right.
But for this, it was actually good because it was a teaser and it was short. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're trying to get your goal accomplished in a short amount of time, it was actually helpful to just do it all in narration and show those scenes, but have her also talk about it.
Right.
So it wasn't like there's a scene where they're playing Monopoly and she's like, he's so competitive. And it's funny because you're actually getting the dialogue from the scene, but still with the narration. And right. that's so helpful. And it was great. And I liked that it was all positive because I feel like most of the time in trailers for something like this, like divorce,
right.
it's going to be like straight through being like halfway through. It's going to be like all the things you loved about Charlie and this is where it stopped.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was really nice that it didn't stop in the middle and then be like, this is where it got bad. And then it shows all the bad things that happened. Right. It was just a great like showing of them as a good couple and it's a good family. Which does make it a little confusing, because you're like, and then the next scene is, like, the courtroom, and then you see them, like, on the opposite sides of each other. So it was interesting, and then she's talking to Charlie, and they're, like, in this, like, plain white room, which, you like, is in their house, and that's just, like, good, because it's, like, if it's, like, a plain white room like that, it's, like, signifying a little bit of, like, they're the only focus that you have, like, you know what I mean? Like, the audience can't focus on, like, other stuff necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
but it also kind of shows that, like, you know, when you, like, describe a room, like, as, like, an author or, like, if you're designing it for, like, TV or movie sets or anything like that, that, like, that atmosphere is really what's building your world and building a lot of your character and building, like, their interests or things like that. So it was interesting because it was in a white room and I was like, if this is your house, I hope it's not because that's really, like, showing that maybe as a couple you're having a hard time. You know what I mean? Because if it's, like, blank, it means you're not, like, choosing things together and you're not doing these kinds of things and that maybe you're avoiding it and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which was interesting. Wow, did I just talk about a color scheme?
Oh, my God. I'm crying. I'm so happy right now.
I told you, I only have 4 lines of notes, but I have feelings. So yeah, I thought it was really good. The music was really good because it was like, it was good. It was like in the background, it made sense. It fit. It wasn't so like, and in like something like this, you can't have the music be too overpowering that you're paying too much attention to it because there's so much you're trying to pick up on mm-hmm. in a teaser trailer. But the thing that bothered me about this trailer was I didn't like how at the end there was like a full 30 seconds of like Marriage Story from Netflix. Here's all the list of all the people that were in it. I was like, that was 30 seconds. It was a solid 30 seconds. That's what I just went back and checked before the episode started. I was like, are you kidding me? So like, it's like a minute and 27 second
mm-hmm.
teaser trailer. But I was like, but really it was just a minute, which was fine. I thought it was a good length of time, but I was like, don't give me all this extra fluff for 30 seconds. Nobody needs this. I was happy they didn't do it in the middle. Like, because that would have pissed me off. Like, you cannot, this was not a trailer that you could have broken up like that. but still, I was like, we don't need it. We know who these people are. Like, when you show me Laura Dern and Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, we all know who they are. We all know that they're nominated for N of One things. Like, you don't need to retell me. But it, like, the trailer was so good that it actually made me want to see it because Kelsey's like, eyes what? Just bugged out of her head. She was like, I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
I'm not surprised that you like it because, like, a lot of, like, communication, it's, like, very much up your alley, especially with your career. But I'm a little, how can I put this and be
shocked that I'm invested in a right. hetero couple.
That's exactly it. I think it's like, yeah. I mean, I think that's what a good movie should do. I mean, it shouldn't turn you off because it's, it should, because of like whoever's being portrayed, it should,
right.
you should be interested because of the kind of the meat of the dinner rather than just like having it be like, oh, it's just potatoes. It's actually like the richness and what it needs. And I think that's, I mean, I'll express my non-likes for this film after everything.
Yeah, yeah, and we can kind of come back to
it. Yeah, but I'm, just because of the fact that you're not there for ScarJo, you're there for the story.
And I know! Personal growth 2020!
So, that's when I'm like, that's why I'm like, oh wow, you're not just watching it to watch it, you're actually there to like, wanting to watch the film.
Yeah, it like made me so then I wanted to see like the actual full trailer because it's so interesting because normally in a trailer where the movie's all about or like what you know from like social media and like from spoilers and all right. that stuff that you know that the whole film is going to be mostly about divorce. It's so interesting when the trailer just gives you all the good points of their relationship and not so much of the like
the dwindling aspects, the dwindling
yeah. and all that. So it's like, how did this go downhill so far? And it just reminds me of like of a lot of good stories that I've read and things like that. Mm-hmm. and just like talking about like how like with a couple, if you're going through like a hard time, like how you like either turn around from there or like how you decide that it's over. Wow, this is deep.
This is, like, a lot.
I'm really glad we didn't try to do this on Thursday night.
No. Yes, I was like, I'm not in the right headspace for this. As I was, like, messaging and then as I was, like, interacting with different, like, social media stuff, I was like, wow, I'm in such a shit mood. I'm not going to be discussing this properly. And so we moved it to today, which is Saturday, which is so much better.
This is a much better choice.
So I feel like that was a good choice, especially because it, as you look through the trailer, and I feel like once, because I feel like the Charlie has, which you'll hear my discussion of his trailer, I think it has a lot, I don't want to say have a lot more emotional resonance, but there is a lot more once you start digging under the dirt. And yeah. I feel like, because like what
and
I
we
think,
can dig some more.
We can dig some more, because like, it does yeah. deserve digging.
Yes.
And I feel like the teaser trailers and trailers are like the garden. And I feel like the movie is, I should say an iceberg because it's a much better reference to it.
Oh, but they're the top of the iceberg.
I was going to like, you can dig into the garden and see like the true skeletons that lie beneath. And so, but I was like, oh, that might be.
That took a creepy turn.
Horace Dan.
That totally fits Kelsey, so it's good.
but yeah, so any more notes or anything?
But yeah, I wanted to like make me see it to see like, more of, like, what actually is right. happening in the film.
Right. Great. So we're going to take a little break. Then we'll be back to discuss Charlie's side or Adam Driver's point of view. And then we'll discuss more about the trailer and maybe kind of go into more of the dissatisfactions about the trailer, the movie
yeah,
as a
can,
whole.
Yeah, and we can talk about it, like, as a...
As a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back. Take a break. Get some popcorn, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Welcome back to the second half of the episode of Too Many Trailers. We'll be discussing,
Kelsey will be.
I'm using I statements. I will be discussing Charlie's Side or Charlie's POV, which is titled What I Love About Nicole. So this story, again, also all pretty like 90% narration, I want to say, you know, other than the, which was interesting to hear you talk about the white room scene because it's also in this trailer as well. I want to talk about the music used in, I think probably both, they probably have the same music, but I thought it was just so interesting and I love, and it's that dichotomy. Gotta love that dichotomy. But they used, I forgot which music it was, but it was like, it was all about like love and how much I love you and like, and it just fit so well. And the editing points were just mm-hmm. so well done, especially in like those moments of awkward pauses. Yes. And it was just so well done. And I really, that's what made me focus on the trailer. I think that's like probably why I liked it so much. I do like that they pair up the narration, the push. It's like what I love about Nicole. I love that she is an active mother. You know, she's like seen like playing outside with her kid with the dinosaurs and stuff, and how she's like not like just the regular moms or whatever. And I like that she is competitive or something, that they, because they show the Monopoly scene.
Yeah.
And so, and they like kind of push, or, you know, they push those scenes out because they say like right before the scene goes. And I thought that was a really well technically done thing, and how it kind of just moved the trailer. It kept the pace going. Because a lot of the times with teasers, it's just like, here is a clip, and like, there's it. And then, like, that's it. But it had, like, a kind of a push and pull feel, which I thought was really interesting. And I'll get to all, like, the details when I get to the end. So the ending of the song, like, says, I love you, and then it goes to the white room scene. And there was that huge, awkward silence, and it was just such a well-written area to pause it to. And I thought it was just very awkward, and you're just like, and you felt that awkwardness between the two. When, because I don't know if you had the scene where Adam Driver was sitting and looking at Nicole, and she's like, I'd like to talk.
Yes.
And yeah, like, that was like a, yeah, it's a white room awkward scene. And he's like, I don't know what we should, I don't know when I should start, where to start. Exactly. And it just, and then the song started up again, and I was just like, oh, chills. And
so, right? So technically well done.
And so, of the meat of the potatoes, meat and potatoes of the trailer, the Adam Driver Charlie seemed, at first I was like, oh, this is really like real and kind of like, oh, what I love about Nicole, and like, she's a great mom, she's competitive, she's this, she's that. And then I listened to it again and I was like, this is very to the point. This is very, this is what I'm talking about. And it wasn't so, it was, and it felt, it was something that didn't feel as though it was something he needed to get off his chest. And it just felt very disingenuous to me. And I thought that was why I think I liked this POV a lot, because it felt so fake. And it felt so fake because of the fact that he wasn't trying. You know, sometimes when you, like, you're like, oh, what I love about this person. It was just, like, it felt like he was trying to reach. And I think it was part of the pauses in between. And I think that's what it made me feel. It felt he was like, she's a good mom. She, because it wasn't, like, anything specific. You know, being competitive, being a good mom, those are, you know, I mean, granted, it's more exacerbated in other, you know, people. It's like, oh, she's a great mom, or, you know, he's a great father. There's no specifics in here. Competitiveness is not a specificity. You know, it's like, it's not like, I like when Nicole takes out the pots and pans or a certain way, you know. It's like, I like when we play games together. And that's why I felt it was so, that's why I felt disingenuous by the end, because he was just like pulling things out of his ass, essentially. And I think that's why it felt so awkward during the white room scene, because of the fact he's like, I don't know where to start. And it's like, buddy, I think you do. And I think that why that white room scene works so well in the trailer is because they both know where to start. They know what's going on. They know what their relationship has turned into, but they don't want to face it. And I think that's why I felt I really liked this trailer, because it didn't feel real. And I think that's why I was so interested to hear the ScarJo point of view, because I was looking for that emotion that I didn't really see in this one. You know, one could argue, yeah, you know, he was telling the facts, but sometimes telling facts doesn't mean telling the underbelly of it. It doesn't show the skeletons in the curtain. And so
you're really pushing that analogy.
I really like it. I think it should be a thing.
It's good. I like it.
Again, it's a teaser trailer, so there's nothing really more to go off of other than, like, the audio, because I think that was, like, the whole gimmick of the thing. I thought it was great. I really did enjoy it. I'm happy I only watched one, because I didn't want to know what else was going on. I feel like I'm missing a lot, but I just, a lot of my notes is, like, it's just to the point. There's really nothing behind it other than just empty statements. And, I mean, we have those I statements, but it's like, again, just empty basic statements. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought the courtroom scene was really well shot in, like, the trailer.
Yes.
I really like that because it's like you see, you're looking at Nicole from Charlie's point of view. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and they do it the opposite.
They really, oh, masterful.
Right?
Ugh.
Just like what we would give to have well-done trailers to watch every episode. Come on.
I think it also comes with well-done movies as well, so.
Yes, but not always.
Not, that's very
sometimes
true.
Sometimes the
that
trailers
is very true.
Are phenomenal, and you're just like, wow, this trailer was really good and really well executed, but I know this movie's gonna suck.
Right. And,
And or the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, what? This movie was actually good. The trailer was so terrible.
And I feel like the reason why I did, like, these I statements and the switching of the POV between the two trailers was because it sounded like they were in couples therapy, which I thought was a fucking great idea.
Right?
I think that more trailers need to focus on the meat, like, I keep saying the meat of the story, which is such a weird thing, but it's what it is, because not a lot of trailers just, like, look at, like, the overarching, like, plot line. They're like, this is what's gonna happen. Ba-ba-ba. And then that's it. But this actually understood the kind of the concept, and I feel like the director probably was in the editing room played some part of the editing of the trailers or the marketing of the trailers, because it was just really well done, because when I was watching this, I felt, oh, I was sitting with Charlie being like, thank you for those statements. I really appreciated those statements. Like, I felt as though I was a moderator of this, because.
Right.
Yeah.
If that white room scene, like, if they had cut from all of this, like, to the end where they're both in the same room and there had been, like, a therapist right there, I wouldn't have been surprised.
No. Not at all, because it, or someone, like, or the scene right before could be, like, you need to talk, you know, together, like a therapist saying, like,
yes,
you need to
yes,
do this.
Yes, they did it separately or something like that. Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Exactly, because it really does feel like they've been avoiding this topic a long time, and this is, like, avoiding this topic a long time, and they just can't seem to not realize it. They already realize it, and you can tell within these trailers that they already realize that they fell out of love.
Right. But sometimes it's hard to
recognize it.
And sometimes it's hard to know, like, when he said, I don't know where to start, like, you can know what the problems are, but you might not have any idea how to start that conversation.
Right, exactly.
So, like, I was like, I get you. You're going to sit there in silence for a good long time and either, like, and then, like, both
stay,
step out of the room and,
right,
like, try it
back,
again.
Or
you're going to sit there for a long time and then finally
someone's
gonna
just
going to,
like, just rip the Band-Aid off. And I think that the whole trailer, even, like, I don't know if you felt this with the ScarJo point of view, but with the Adam Driver point of view, I felt a building anxiety in the back of my neck throughout the whole trailer. Because,
well,
yeah.
I think I knew, like, I know the premise of the movie.
Right.
I'm kind of bummed that, like, this wasn't, like, something we had no idea about, and then when they dropped it, you would be like, okay.
Okay.
Because I feel like you would have been less shocked from Adam Driver's point of view,
mm-hmm.
and I would have been like, what?
Sorry, what now?
Sorry, what?
Because, like, I know what happens, like, I've seen, like, the memes and whatnot, because I know, I don't want to say he's the more emotional one, but he's the one that kind of, like,
outwardly shows more emotion.
Exactly. In the scene. So that's
why. I haven't seen the whole scene.
Oh,
I've seen the whole scene.
It's fucking amazing. He deserves that nomination. He's so good in that scene.
Good.
But he. It, like, because I can feel the rising tension with his, like, I love the way Nicole's an active mom. I love that she plays with him in the grass, yada, yada, yada. And you're just like, okay. And you're like, I love, because it's, like, very, like, tense. And I think that's why I really liked from his side, because you can understand that he's trying to push down his emotions, which most men generally do, and just because of society. Cue the Joker laugh. And to him have that released, you can tell it's going to be at that point. So I feel that rising tension come towards that one scene. So that's why I thought it was a very, very well done teaser trailer on his side, because it showed him trying to navigate it through his emotions, and, like, you can tell he's really just, like, holding on to the ropes, like, really just, like, holding a lot of back attention when speaking these words.
Yeah.
Because he knows, he already knows that he does not love her anymore, because I felt as though his words were empty.
Wow.
Truth bomb.
Rough stuff.
Rough stuff. However, even though I do think that these trailers are good, I do have problems with the film as a whole, because...
Did you have any issues with the trailer?
I had,
Or, like,
no,
what you were getting
from
the trailer?
No, because they were only teasers, so it was only so much information you can get for them.
Did yours also have that 30 seconds at the end?
Honestly, I blacked out at the last 30 seconds,
so
I don't remember.
Probably
yes. I just don't remember that. I just remember the big Netflix bottom logo, and then, like, I was like, okay, like, it's on Netflix. We got it.
Yeah.
But granted, when this teaser trailer came out, everyone's like, when is it going to be released type of thing. So, yeah, I just thought, I don't know. Yeah. My issues with this.
Yeah, because I haven't seen the actual movie, and
I've only seen, like, a scene.
Yeah, and I haven't, like, so I, like, know that there's, like, the fight scene, and I know, like, a little bit, but I don't know.
I think mine's more, like, overarching. I feel like the reason why it's probably so successful is because it's about two white people. I feel like because, I mean, granted, Noah Baumbach, I'm assuming, is white.
I am assuming also.
So I'm just going to say that.
I'm going to double check.
So, which is, like, I'm happy that he's not trying to write something that he's not aware of. And I'm sure that this is a lot, probably has to do with some experience he had with falling out of love or, you know, some sort of thing. I think that, I just wish there was just, like, I'm granted, this is a teaser trailer. I don't know what's in the actual movie. I will most likely watch it because the teaser trailer actually did its job.
Right? So
it
you
did
want
its
to
job.
See it too.
I'm not saying that it was a bad trailer. I just wish there was
no,
like,
I know. I'm just, like, shocked.
Yeah.
That, like, these
no,
were so good.
Yeah. It was really, really well done. The two trailers on each POV was a fucking genius move.
Right.
It's genius.
Damn Netflix. Good job.
I just wish that there was, like, one more thing that could draw me in more. I just think that it could be bland, it could be boring. I'm a little worried on that because of the fact that it's just, it's like two white people.
You're a white
yeah.
couple, you probably have like
those
typical issues that we see in every other movie.
And no, that's exactly it. And that, I think, I wish we had one more like added element to the movie. Granted, there could be,
yeah.
I just don't know. But from what I see in the trailer, I just wish there was, like, one more thing. And I hope that we get, like, more of the kid going into it. Like, more of the son's problems going through it. Like, them dealing with, like, divorce and children and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of happy that it's not from the kid's POV.
Yeah.
Which kind of would have ruined it, honestly, because I was like, I don't want to see a sad movie about a kid losing both his parents so from divorce. So yeah, I'd probably see it. So that, like, those are like, that's like my main issue. I was like, I just wish there was like one more thing, like put a little paprika in, like spice it up. And like, I'd appreciate it. But from what I'm seeing, I am happy with what I saw. I think this movie is going to be shot very well. I think that the color scheme is amazing. Laura Dern is nominated for an Oscar for this. Adam Driver is nominated for an Oscar for this. The movie's nominated for an Oscar this on various levels. The Academy does wrong, but I think that this deserves what it is probably getting. Some other movies, probably not. So, just from the trailer alone, I'm already, like, think this will be an intriguing film.
Yeah.
Because you get divorce films, but you don't kind of get it on a personal level, though.
Right. And you don't always get that deeper reason and, like, and a couple trying to discuss and figure out and, like, discuss it together of why they're breaking up.
Yeah.
You know? Because
you just get, like, we broke up.
Or you get the, like, cheating cop-out or other things like that. And
you just don't get them
like
falling.
But you don't get, like, the
plot device of just falling out of love.
Right.
Because it happens.
And it does.
Shit is real life.
Yeah. I feel like this film, like, if it's anything to go by, like, the, like, timing and pacing.
Yes.
Of the trailer, I would hope that this is good timing and pacing, and also, like, good use of, like, silence.
Yes.
Because that is, like...
I think
like that white room scene where it was just quiet is like so it like makes you uncomfortable.
It made me so uncomfortable during the trailer, like the teaser trailer, when like they go like when they go when they stop the music. I just go, oh, I feel weird.
Right,
I feel like that. It's an elephant in the room.
Yeah, and when you not even like. But you're right, like, the cueing of, like, taking the music out of the scene also is always such, like, a big hit. Like,
it always
like,
works just so well. Like, it's a big hit
to
well.
You, to, like, the audience when you're like, oh.
It always
like,
it just always, works
like, makes you stop.
Because it's such, like, it's like slamming your, when you're riding a bike and you slam your brakes and you just hit that wall. Right. And you're just like, you're on a roller coaster right. And you just like kind of jerk forward. You're like, oh shit.
Right. There's an entire episode of Buffy where there's no music. At all.
That is just
masterful.
So even hearing about that is just disconcerting. I'm like, ooh, do I like that? No.
So, like, they did it because it's, like, spoiler alert from 2000. it's a scene, it's the episode where, like, Buffy's mom dies. And it's the scene of that finding out. And, like, so there's no background music for the whole episode, though. And it's just to give you that, like, shock value of, like, what you
disconcerting
do when
and,
this happens.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Something like that happens and that, like, feeling of, like, constantly feeling uncomfortable and like,
constant
like that.
And that feeling of real life. I mean, in life, we don't have background music to make us feel more comfortable.
Or to give you, like, music cues of, like, what you should be feeling and what on
because
all this
because it's, like, you have
in.
To discern... either from the emotions of others or the emotions what you are feeling because
right.
of this uncomfortableness, what you should be feeling too and how you're going to connect to this. So I feel like a lot of people might not watch this film because of the fact that it might just be
too real. Yeah, and too uncomfortable.
Yeah, and so I feel like because this is so real life,
mm-hmm.
real life-y
yeah.
of a film, it's because it's like people fall out of love. And it's such a shitty, it's such a shitty feeling. And it's, like, especially, like, when you have a kid that's, like, 6 years old, you know, you have, like, X amount of years under your belt that you've told secrets to, that you've shared personal and intimate moments with.
Right.
And when you find that point where you just can't be together, you just have to watch that person walk off with all that knowledge, and you're just like,
oh my god, I can't take this conversation. No, I know. I'm just like,
no, I know. It's
hard.
It's hard
when you build a life with somebody, and then all of a sudden, like,
it's
or tough. Not all of a sudden,
no,
but like, still,
when
like
just
when
that
it starts
decline,
to go down,
and, just
then
like
all of a sudden you're like by yourself. It's like.
Especially, like, when you have a kid together, it's,
yeah.
like, that's a very intimate and personal decision. That is, like, we are in this.
Right, and then
for
when
least
you...
18 years, like...
Right, and then when you decide, like, and then when you discover that you've, like, fallen out of love or, like, that you need to be separated...
Then you have to
and then it's,
deal
like,
with
how
kid.
Do we
there is
do
another
this,
person
involved
in that situation. And it sucks, you know? I think that, especially... you know, maybe adult children of divorce or, you know, children of divorce that are probably watching this film because it's on fucking Netflix, you know, are going to be seeing this being like, this represents my life.
Yeah.
This
is
what it
happened.
Is. This is what happened. And,
right.
you know, obviously take care of yourself when watching this. I mean,
right. Absolutely. Like if you're in a relationship, if you're a child of parents that were divorced
or
like for anybody honestly
for anyone
though,
that has
just
gone
like,
through a relationship and just hasn't and it didn't pan out, I think that it will probably bring up emotions that you don't want to really revisit. And then I think that's why I think it's such a good place to put it on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand like the reasoning probably, you know, there are certain reasons why producers don't put it through theaters, either it's not going to be good enough for theaters and people won't pay to see it. I can honestly probably see this more in independent cinema
yes.
rather than
yes.
Netflix,
yeah.
but I also don't see people rushing to go see this film.
Right,
because so
you're
many
putting,
people...
you're purposefully putting yourself in an uncomfortable like
position,
place.
Which is so disconcerting to a lot of people. I mean,
right.
like,
but
obviously
then,
there's
people
movies
like run
that.
To do that kind of shit all the time.
Right.
And they're like, I'm going to go watch this movie that I know is going to make me cry. Okay.
Why?
Like,
you
do I do that to myself?
Yes.
Do I do it to myself in the comfort of my own home? Yes. That's why this belongs on Netflix.
Yeah, and exactly, which I think is a great tool. And I think that's why it's on there.
Yeah.
Because it's also, it's in your home. Relationships are in your home. And I think that it putting it also in your home puts you at that uncomfortable state when you're watching it with your partner, or if you're watching it alone, or if you're just watching it with a bunch of friends. I think that we all have relationships, and relationships span from platonic to, you know, to, yeah, you know, to or non-platonic, romantic, to, yeah, to, there is a whole spectrum. And I think that no matter what, there is a sort of love aspect to any sort of relationship. Even if you don't like or don't experience romantic relationships or love or whatever, I think that the quote-unquote falling out of love is something we do experience even with friends.
Yes,
even with parents, even with any sort of relationship we have as human beings. I think that it's a topical conversation. I think that's something we don't talk about a lot. I think that, you know, especially in toxic relationships, it's, you know, you might say, like, this is a toxic relationship, but it's still a relationship.
Right.
And you still have to fall out of love with that person. No matter what, you have to unlearn, and unlearning is very difficult for a lot of us. And I think that's why this movie succeeds as getting that Oscar nomination.
Boom. Mic drop. And we're out. Could you imagine?
And I'm going to bed.
We just, like, left you in silence for 30 seconds and then clicked and then turned it off.
Oh, God. That would be...
What if that would, like, an ad work really?
Hi, this is an ad for Anchor. Yeah. So that's your rant for this week. I blame it on the coffee
that I had. I blame it on the second wind that we just got.
Oh, holy my God. So, I mean, you're gonna watch it on Netflix, right? I feel, yeah, like, yeah. Okay, that's what I got. That's what.
By myself.
Yeah, same. Right before bed.
No, I cry, yes, myself. Actually, calling the lights off. You're right. And then probably, like, if I'm still upset, I'm probably gonna go watch some more, like, sad scenes of things that I usually watch, and then just.
I will
go
never understand you. I will never understand you
of why I put myself in those situations.
Yeah,
purposefully.
I mean, like, I hate crying. I like crying, like, during books, because it's like you're so immersed in this, like, character's journey, and then you're just,
that's
like,
what I
sobbing.
Do during movies.
But movies, it's like, again, it's vulnerable because you're with generally
no,
with
no,
other
no, no,
people.
No, I mean, when I watch it at home and I watch,
yeah, but I don't
to
like
make me cry.
I don't like search it.
You
though.
Don't seek out, like, let me just read this chapter in this,
no,
book that makes me cry. Oh,
why? I hate crying.
I think I do too, but I don't know. I don't know. That's very.
Is it?
You're right. Is it is it concerning enough for me to go to therapy? Probably.
Yes. You knock on the therapist door. Hi, I'm here for masochism, or
I'm here because the only thing I read is hurt comfort. Sorry, I'm here because I watched the scene where Wanda has to kill Vision 7 times last night, and I feel like that's probably a problem.
That's all, and it's so short, it's not many for you.
Not bad, right? Not too bad.
Oh my God. Okay, should we do some business?
And let you guys live your lives,
yes,
in peace?
Yes, exactly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, when we told you in the middle to, like, go get popcorn, we probably should have said, like, go get, like, a warm beverage and a blanket and a box of tissues. Because that's what I feel like
we
should have.
We want you to make you feel good when listening to this podcast, not us screaming into your ears about.
Like, go put on your pajamas, get in a comfortable position, get ready to cry.
It's time to Kelsey for ranting.
It's gonna be sad, folks.
Oh. 2020, it's gonna be sad, folks. <It's> All right, let's do some business.
All right.
So, if you'd like to hear more,
I promise every episode's not this sad.
Is it?
No.
I feel like sometimes we get
sometimes
into.
Sometimes they are. If
I think
if
like
it's a sad
50-50.
Movie, or like it's a movie that's like very deep, or like
that's true.
Very like has a lot of like passion, emotion, but like not always.
It's true.
Sometimes we talk about funny movies.
We try.
We try to. Sometimes it's hard.
Sometimes it's hard because we're like, we like this theme. And then we don't watch the film. So if you'd like to hear more of that, you can listen to us every other week. We post every other Tuesday with intermittent bonus episodes throughout the year. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can rate us 5 stars on iTunes. You can also share this podcast with your friends. And I feel like you can always, you know, buddy listen to, and you can.
Yeah. And you can be like, wow, did you hear what they said? What'd you think? And then have your own conversation.
And then have a podcast about a podcast. And it's amazing.
Wow. How meta.
Or you can listen to us on many other types of hosting sites, which are.
You can listen to us on Anchor, which is our hosting website, but they have an app that you can listen to on. Makes it nice and easy for you. You can also listen to us on Overcast, Spotify, Google Play.
And I think like a few other like random ones that we post out every once in a while, right. But those are not as important.
Those are our main like platforms to listen on.
Exactly. If you'd like to talk to us about Marriage Story on social media, you can always talk to us within the character limit on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and that is at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers.
If you have deeper thoughts, if you're like, wow, I really like this use of silence and I want to talk to you about it more than like the characters on Twitter, then feel free to send us an email. Our email is TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's TWO Many Trailers @gmail.com.
So, I don't have any more, like, things to kind of parse out. So, what we say at the end of pretty much every episode is don't judge a movie by its trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a great one ever, and talk to you soon.
Bye!